This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 Thursday afternoon, May 23rd. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. You may be surprised to learn a particular function of 3D printing. Building a house, we'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, the AI company NVIDIA is staging an historic rally driven by its data center business. Let's take a closer look with Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter in Hammond. Chuck, thank you for joining us today. Now, yesterday on this show, I said it seems like the trajectory for NVIDIA as far as what the street was expecting from that first quarter report was a blowout or bust, and NVIDIA did deliver blowout, but it seems like it was already priced in.
Well, yes. If you think about it, it was. I made a comment yesterday here saying, how in the world is NVIDIA going to beat expectations when the whole world is watching these earnings with such high expectations? And lo and behold, they did, and they beat it in a big way today. I mean, you've got a company of this size that basically tripled their revenue from a year earlier period, and it seems like there's nothing stopping it. And it's a stock that's growing into its valuation with these types of results. So it was an amazing quarter, and the stock is reflecting that with its move today.
And where would you anticipate this stock going? I mean, obviously, the law of gravity does take over. The competition will try to cut into NVIDIA's market share. Other things could happen in the AI business. But does the stock's valuation reflect the reality of its finances?
Well, it kind of does. I mean, when you look at the earnings growth that they've had and you start looking at those earnings multiples based on this growth, it's getting increasingly difficult to say that NVIDIA is, quote, an expensive stock because the growth is happening so quickly. Now, where this will obviously come into trouble potentially is when you start to really, come across these comps. And that's probably 6 to 12 months down the road, where they're going to have to really continue to grow at such a rapid rate because they're putting up such big numbers now, and those comps are going to be more difficult. But I think there were people saying that on this quarter, and they managed to do well. So I think you're still looking at plenty of runway for an NVIDIA stock, and again, probably 6 to 12 months, probably further out on the 12-month scheme, is where maybe you'll start to see this growth slow down. But for the time being, it's moving quite forward. And they're having, their new super chip coming out here by the end of this year that will probably continue to drive growth for it.
We're talking NVIDIA and the business of AI with Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter in Hammond. It seems that there are three potential risks on the horizon for NVIDIA, starting with the fact that the competition is looking at them and saying, well, we should probably build up our own chip capability. Microsoft and Google are doing just that. Others are going to say, you know, why shouldn't NVIDIA reap all the rewards of this AI revolution? The other thing is that businesses that adopt AI at great expense may find that it's kind of a money loser for them, and that eventually you just run out of electricity to run some of these AI applications.
Yeah, all those things can happen, but they all make an assumption, too, that NVIDIA stops improving from a technological basis. And that may be the case. Maybe, you know, at some point NVIDIA becomes obsolescence, you have other players coming into the game, but they have shown an ability to continue to innovate in this business, and as they can continue to do that, you know, they're going to keep the competition at bay. Yes, they have some pretty well-funded potential competitors that are currently customers, and but those people, you know, those companies are depending on high quality chips. And we've seen this before. You know, Apple's famous for, well, we're going to have our own chip. We're going to have our own chips. And while they have developed their own chips, they still keep a lot of the old chip makers around because the old chip makers produce pretty good chips. And I think that's going to be the case with NVIDIA here as well.
Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter in Hammond, Indiana. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, building a house using 3D printing technology.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday for planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday. 3D printed houses have been going up in Europe for nearly 10 years, and more are being seen here in the U.S. Let's learn more from Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media, former tech editor for the Today Show, based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Paul, thank you for joining us today. And for those of us who are familiar with 3D printing, just by seeing the demonstration model at your local library, what does a 3D printing house operation look like? Do they just put like a giant cube on top of where they're going to build the house and let it go to work?
Put some LED lights in it, have it flash all night, annoy the neighbors. Yes, but that's not actually how it works. And it's the concept is the same, which is to say that something that goes from liquid to solid comes out of a nozzle and builds something solid. But in the case of the library printer, it's about scale. You're creating something inside the box that's sitting in the library. In the case of 3D printing a home, what you're really building is a framework for a nozzle that spits out a special blend, if you will, of concrete that is able to be spit through that nozzle and that solidifies and hardens quickly enough that you can build quickly. And the thing that's really cool about it is speed and expense. I mean, taking a giant step back before we get to how it works, almost anybody who studies the housing market in the United States understands that the reason housing prices are high, in addition to the fact, obviously, that interest rates are making them even seem higher when you borrow money, is because there's just not a lot of supply. So 3D printing, I mean, the folks at Habitat for Humanity, for example, are 3D printing houses in 36 hours, meaning that the actual walls go up in a day and a half worth of that concrete coming out of that nozzle. That's a breakthrough for anybody who's ever looked at home renovation and home construction. It just takes forever. This is much faster.
And this really does solve a pressing issue right now, because I was thinking yesterday, if someone indexed every word that I said on this show going back to January of 2022 when I became the full-time host, I probably said the word inflation multiple times during the Noon Business Hour. And one of the main drivers of inflation now is the cost of shelter and rents. That's if you took shelter out of the equation, inflation's at 2%. So it's the ability to find housing and to build housing, and without 3D printing, you're constricted by, as you said, the cost of materials, interest rates, and then finding people to do the construction.
Exactly right. When you frame a house, you need, you know, oftentimes framing crews, and you know, an average size house of say a little under 3,000 square feet takes a framing crew of about 10 people all told. Well, 3D printing a house for Habitat for Humanity takes 3 people. Now, some may say, oh, gosh, you know, there goes, you know, labor costs are diminished, but there goes the job market. Well, yeah, but that expertise is being transferred to other industries. Example, AI is getting involved with 3D printing. In other words, construction teams use AI now for project planning, design and engineering. You can generate design alternatives and conduct simulations, even engineering simulations, in seconds. That used to involve calling up the engineer, and that engineer would tell you, "Hey, I'll be available next week." So all that adds up to, yes, reduced number of people potentially working on this and reduced costs, but it does include, in fact, an increase in the number of jobs available to folks who can manage all this. So it's you're absolutely right. The housing shortage is causing that rise in costs, and you're right. It would reduce inflation dramatically, and 3D printing may well be a solution that's near at hand.
Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media, former tech editor for The Today Show, based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, an update on the housing market, including sales numbers for April.
Discussing the news affecting your money, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Sales of newly built homes fell last month. Let's get the latest now on what's impacting the housing market from Brian Wickert, president and owner, Accudent Mortgage, Waukesha, Wisconsin. Brian, thank you for joining us today. And it seems like those higher interest rates continue to sink their teeth into the housing market.
Definitely a little bit of a drag on the new housing market. And you got to remember, that's a nationwide number. I think, you know, if you dig into those numbers, you're going to see that things are softer in areas like Florida and Texas, where they're doing a lot of new construction. And those builders, though, have the luxury of throwing incentives then at the home buyers to try to make their offering in the marketplace more attractive than existing home sales. In Chicago, you've got a real shortage of existing homes on the market. I was just working with a couple relocating from Wisconsin to Oak Park. They had to offer $80,000 over the asking price of $470,000 to get their offer accepted.
And is this just simply a function of, you know, just existing homes, but also new homes? You have people who are in those 2% and 3% mortgages they refied during COVID, and they don't want to leave unless you give them an extra $80,000.
Well, right. I mean, you know, luckily home sales are only down about 22% year over year. Year over year, we're only down about 22% with the high rate. So it's not like it's, you know, a disaster where sales are down 50%. But absolutely, people don't want to give up those low rates. So supply is tight. There are still people who need to buy homes. They relocate. They have babies. They want to move closer to their grandkids. And so there are simply more buyers than sellers. And that's why home prices, the median sales price in Chicago hit a record of $350,000 in the metro area.
Sales of newly built homes dropping 4.7% in April compared to March of this year, 7.7% the decline from 2023. So that's just gives you an idea of where the new home sales market is simply across the country. But what is this going to mean? First off, what's going to happen when the Fed cuts? Even if it's a quarter of a percentage point, I know the federal funds rate is only a small component of your mortgage rate, but how is that going to impact the housing market? What are we going to see when that happens?
The only thing that might happen is we'll see even more buyers. But it's not going to be significant enough to cause more sellers to say, oh my gosh, now rates are down 0.25%. I'm going to list my house for sale. But it might get, you know, those couple of those fence sitters to say, you know, we're going to get back into the market now. The Fannie Mae just came out with their latest forecast for fixed rates through the end of the year. They're saying maybe 7%. We think it's going to stay at 7% through the rest of the year, whereas their month earlier, they thought we'd be down closer to 6.5% by the end of the year. So they're definitely saying higher for longer, even when the Fed does cut rates.
Brian Wickert, president and owner of Accudent Mortgage in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us today. Still ahead in Technology Thursday, we'll talk about Microsoft's latest move into artificial intelligence.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. The president of Northwestern University faces questions from lawmakers about protests on his school's campus. The U.S. sends more military aid to Ukraine, which is dealing with an onslaught from Russia. Technology Thursday, Microsoft is putting artificial intelligence into devices without the need to go to the cloud. Concert giant Live Nation, the target of an antitrust lawsuit. WBBM Business. The markets are mixed. The Dow is down 389 points. The NASDAQ is up 79. The S&P 500 down 3. 76 degrees right now at O'Hare under mostly sunny skies, going up to 81. It's 12:31. Topping our news at the half hour. Northwestern University President Michael Schill appeared today at a hearing of the House Committee on Education and the Workforce. He faced questioning about the school's handling of pro-Palestinian protests on the school's campus. He says the university will continue to promote two principles that are at the core of its mission.
Free expression and academic freedom while disciplining harassment and intimidation.
Leaders of Rutgers University and UCLA also testified before lawmakers this morning. Government sources say the U.S. is set to announce more military aid for Ukraine amid the latest Russian advances.
The officials say it'll be $275 million in artillery and ammunition. Pentagon Chief Lloyd Austin told defense leaders earlier this week Ukraine is in a moment of challenge.
And you'll see a steady flow of U.S. assistance to Ukraine week after week.
U.S. aid for Ukraine was held up in Congress for months, and Russia's tried to take advantage of weapons shortages by pushing Kyiv's forces back in some areas and pounding its power grid. Since the aid bill was approved last month, the U.S. has announced and started to send nearly $1.7 billion in weapons from Pentagon stocks. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are mixed. We welcome in Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist, B. Riley Financial in New York. Art, thank you for joining us today. And if not for the NASDAQ, we'd be having a different conversation because the Dow continues to sell off. So before we talk about NVIDIA and their blowout report yesterday yet again, what's going on with the Dow?
Yeah, I'll tell you this. We had a big celebration at a new century mark of the Dow 40,000. And most of the components of the Dow have cooled off since then. And I think that's okay. I think in the near term, you know, we've had a pretty significant run, certainly year to date for the Dow, and certainly after the bit of a sell-off we had in April. And there really isn't a NVIDIA or artificial intelligence adjacent component in the Dow. And that seems to be what's working, at least today, post-NVIDIA earnings. So that the halo effect that both the S&P and the NASDAQ tend to get because they're over-indexed tech stocks, just doesn't shine as brightly in the Dow. And the Dow has more of the you know, traditional 30 of the largest and well best-known companies, but doesn't have that kind of over-indexing to technology. So I think that's what it is. It's been all about tech this week. It's certainly all about technology today. And there's not a whole lot of artificial intelligence exposure encompassing those 30 stocks that make up the Dow.
And then yesterday we got the minutes from the most recent Fed meeting, and it sounds like there might be some interest rate anxiety entering into the picture, because during these deliberations, some of the governors talked about the possibility of leaving open the possibility to raise rates if inflation continues to heat up, and that might be giving some investors some pause.
Yeah, I would say that would be true, if not for the fact that we haven't had an unexpressed thought from any Fed governor or president since their last meeting. So this is a recap of what they talked about around the table with 19 participants joining in the conversation. All 19 of them have actually had a microphone over the course of the last 3 weeks, and we've heard a couple of them actually talk about the potential for leaving rate hikes on the table. My guess is that's just sort of in the back of their mind and not in the forefront of their plans for the next couple of meetings. But we should, had known in large part what they were going to be talking about around the table when they continue to talk about it every time there was a Fed speaking engagement, and there has been a parade of those, Rob, as you and I know.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, they call it the Federal Open Mouth Committee for a reason. It's not like the Supreme Court, where the deliberations are tightly scheduled and tightly controlled. I'm sure you could probably get some insight from a Fed governor if you were behind him or her at a Cinnabon at the airport, and that could potentially move markets. Now, let's go to NVIDIA here. Once again, a big number, and they continue to surprise, they continue to astound. And when is this going to end?
Well, I tell you, it's going to end when, in fact, there is competition for NVIDIA's cutting-edge chips that drive the compute power that you need for the GPUs to operate large language models and have an artificial intelligence business program within your corporation. So in the here and now, everyone is willing to pay for the best. And when the second best becomes available, likely be somebody like an AMD, and that's going to be good enough for you, then they'll have some real competition. But for right now, they're the best game in town. And like we used to say, they're the Cadillac of semiconductors. And until someone comes out with something that's just good enough that can actually get you enough compute power for what you need in artificial intelligence, that's likely next year's business. So their runway is very long. They're rolling out their next generation chip in 6 months. And I think that's what's interesting about that is if you cancel orders now for their current H200, because you're waiting for the next 6 months for their new cutting edge, they're putting you at the back of the list. So, and I think they're just doing a great job at being at the forefront of developing and processing and making the best chips for artificial intelligence. And unless and until AMD or one of the other chip makers is able to catch up or at least become a close second, I think they've got a clear first mover advantage.
Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist, B. Riley Financial in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Technology Thursday, Microsoft adding artificial intelligence capabilities to its computers.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday. At its Build conference this week, Microsoft announced its Copilot Plus PCs are designed for integration with artificial intelligence. We're joined by Jonathan Brill, AI expert, writer, speaker, global futurist at jonathanbrill.com. Jonathan, thank you for joining us today. And at first blush, the Copilot Plus PCs are unique in that all of the AI capability is on the machine. You don't have to send your information, sometimes proprietary information, into the cloud. It's right there in front of your face.
That's a great summary of what's happening. Over 85, AI is, it eats data. That's how it works, right? And so 85% and increasingly more of the data that gets produced is out on the edge. It's not in the cloud. It's on your devices, so on and so forth. So if you want to have truly personalized AI, it needs truly personalized data. And so this is Microsoft's strategy is to do this on your devices. We're going to see Apple do something similar. This is their strategy too. It's called federated AI. And what we're going to see is that you have these small models that work on our devices all day long, and they're able to go out to the cloud and access much larger models like OpenAI over the course of the day to do harder, more complex things. And so what we're going to see is this kind of network, this spider web of artificial intelligence, some on our devices, some out there in the cloud. And what gets really interesting to me about what's going on our devices is Microsoft has a new tool that they call Recall, which is going to record everything that ever happens on our devices. So think about your kid after 12 years of school having recorded everything they ever learned and having a chatbot that's able to work with them and jog their memory about everything they ever learned. Think about how much smarter your kid is going to be when they don't have to remember everything and they can have it brought back to them. They can be coached constantly. This is the vision. This is the potential of these types of devices. They're going to make us so much smarter.
Now, there are some people who listen to, well, this device is going to record everything you do on this computer, and their chest tightens up thinking about that idea. So what can be done to protect user privacy and information?
This is a great question. So what we're seeing is this idea that the AI has moved us from an opt-in approach to sharing our data to effectively an opt-out approach to sharing our data. This is pretty concerning to me because there are things I did 10 years ago that, you know, maybe I'm not so proud of. That can stick around. That can stay there. What we're going to see is what's happening in the European Union, where they're having very strong laws about data rights, even data rights in business, on your business computer. We don't have those so much in the United States, and I think this is going to be a regulatory issue that we're going to be struggling with over the next several years. It may even come out in the next presidential election.
Jonathan Brill, artificial intelligence expert, writer, speaker, global futurist at jonathanbrill.com. Thank you for the insight and thank you for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. And still to come, the government has its eye on the country's largest concert promoter.
Compounding your interest with an economy of words, this is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The Justice Department is filing an antitrust lawsuit against entertainment giant Live Nation. Let's get the latest now from Emily Birnbaum, lobbying and legal reporter with Bloomberg in Washington, D.C. Emily, thank you for joining us today. And I'm not being sarcastic or smarmy when I say this. And is there anything Taylor Swift can't do?
Yes. I mean, the attorney general today quoted Taylor Swift during his press conference announcing this action against Live Nation, saying that the American people are ready for it.
Now, this was the merger between Ticketmaster and Live Nation was allowed 14 years ago, 2010, and there has been a great deal of criticism of it over the last 14 years, but it seems like that tipping point came 18 months ago when the tickets for the Eras tour for Taylor Swift went on sale and the website collapsed immediately, and that caught the eye of many a Washington lawmaker. And on top of that, the tale of onerous ticket fees is being told by the fact that people can go to Europe and have a five-day vacation for the same amount of money they would spend to see Taylor Swift in Indianapolis.
Yes, absolutely. And the Justice Department says this is largely because of the monopoly that Live Nation has over the live events industry in the U.S. They say it's not like this in other countries. Live Nation controls more than 265 concert venues, and they're leveraging that dominance to extract fees from the American people.
Now, the amazing thing, and this is the piece you wrote for Bloomberg, just the degree to which Live Nation did smother the competition over the last 14 years. And just from being in the Midwest, you know, I knew, was familiar with the concert promoter Jam Productions that mm-hmm. used to be involved in a lot of very big shows. I mean, I used to work in music radio, and we would promote concerts that were a Jam production. But they went from doing 100 shows a year to seven, and Jam Productions argues because they were crowded out of the marketplace by Live Nation.
Yeah, Live Nation at this point controls at least 80% of major venues ticketing. And they both do this by locking venues into exclusive long-term contracts, or they threaten venues that don't use them as their main ticketer.
Now, we are, this is day one of the process. We know what the Justice Department had to say. What is the Live Nation response, and where do we go from here?
Live Nation says that this is baseless, that this lawsuit essentially is a PR stunt, a reaction to the Taylor Swift fiasco. They say that the Justice Department is ignoring the economy, the basic economics of live entertainment. This is going to be a long, drawn-out court battle, and they're going to duke it out over the next few months.
If the government prevails in this case, what would a resolution look like?
They say they want Live Nation to sell off Ticketmaster. So they call that a structural remedy, meaning the two companies can no longer work together. So they're going to have to spin it off.
Well, maybe under these circumstances, Ticketmaster could buy TikTok and then solve both problems.
Yeah, but I think that's not what they're going for, but it could work out.
Emily Birnbaum, lobbying and legal reporter with Bloomberg in Washington. Thank you for joining us today. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Odyssey app.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.